Luke 23:27, the Bible says, "And there followed him a great company of people and of women." I have to stop right here. I don't know what the Lord's trying to say here, but it said there were people and also women there. Yeah, I just read it. I just call them like I see them. Verse 27 again. "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, why weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children? For, behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, please don't let me hinder you. I pray, God, that you'll do a work. I would like to be the mouthpiece or the tool. And I pray, God, that you'll reach deep within our hearts and in our minds and help us today. Holy Spirit of God, do a supernatural work. You're wanted and invited to do the work that you choose to do amongst us. Now bless the nursery, bless the children's church, and help us today that we would not leave this place missing what you have for us. But Father, help us today to get exactly what you, in eternity past, planned for us as individuals today. Bless the sermon. Help me as I help your people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. The story that we just read is the story, and in reference to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We'll come back to it in a moment. The sermon today will serve many, many purposes. Please don't ever single yourself out. In most cases, no matter what is preached, it's good for you. You say, well, wonder if there's a warning about something I'm not doing. Well, then take it as a warning, but it doesn't mean that you're guilty of something, but certainly we can learn something from everything that is being taught. Maybe it's not something an area in which we're misbehaving today, but we could misbehave in that area, so it'd be good that we let the warning come to us. But might I tell you this, that the sermon today, it can help you in your child rearing. The sermon today can help you with the discipling or the growing of a new convert. Those of you, and which are many, that are learning leadership in the church, it will help you. I'm going to tell you maybe the most important ministry of the individuals in the church. The most important ministry. If you say to me, if you say, preacher, I want a ministry here at the church, I'll give you one today. I'll give you one today. Sometimes we think that there is some ministry that is greater than being a Christian. Just so you understand, the life of a Christian is to be one of a ministry. Don't get yourself to the point where if you're not assigned a position in the church, you don't think you have a ministry. I'm very sorry, you sure do. Everybody here that's a born-again Christian has a ministry. But I'll give you all enough ministry today to keep yourself busy for the rest of your life. I'm going to talk to you. I call the sermon this: make them your ministry. Make them your ministry. If I were looking for leadership in someone, let's say there was a position in the church that needed to be filled, I would look for people that were already doing what I'm about to teach. Because these are the qualities that then qualify us as leaders within the church to help get the job done for God. Now let me go back to the opening passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 23 and remind you what it was talking about. It's spoken of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus had been falsely accused. He was being nailed to a cross. There were two other malefactors or men, one to his right hand and one to his left. When all this was happening, Jesus was tortured, as you know. Some man had made a crown of thorns that had been placed on the brow of Jesus Christ. Some man had driven nails into the feet and the hands of Christ as he was nailed to that cross. Men stood and watched this happen. Some man spat or spit in his face. Some man plucked out his beard. Some man beat him with a stick. Some man beat him with a whip. Some man gave him vinegar to drink. He was hanging on the cross and he said, "I thirst." And wanting some thirst-quenching water, they gave him vinegar to drink. Some man lied about him. Some man brought some dice along, if you will, and they cast lots and gambled to see who would get the clothing or the garment of Jesus Christ. And some man walked away from the crucifixion with the clothes of Jesus. But I want to point out to you the horrific time of torture that Jesus Christ went through. I need you to recognize his behavior. In Luke 23:34, it says, when Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." These people that he was forgiving are the ones that had physically abused him. But not only that, these people that he is saying, "Forgive them," are the people that had emotionally abused him. Not only that, these people that he is forgiving are the ones that had spiritually abused him. Look, they had spiritually abused him, they had emotionally abused him, they had physically abused him, and he said, "Father, forgive them." He did not make those people his enemy. He made them his ministry. How could he attack them? They were the very reason he was dying. How could he be angry with them? They were the very reason he put up with the crown on his brow and the nails in his hands and the spear in his side and the whip upon his back. How could he be angry with them? They're the purpose he died. They're the purpose he was born. They're the purpose he would resurrect. Why would Jesus look at those people and want to curse them, hate them, have revenge on them, or even dislike them? How could he do that? They're the whole reason he came. They're the whole reason he went through all of that. They're the very reason that he was left on this earth at that time. Folks, I don't know what you think your life is all about. But just so you know, it's really all about two things: the way you treat God, and then the way you treat people. You want to really know what success is? You show me how you treat God, and you show me how you treat people. You were left here on this earth. If I were to leave it up to you to tell me what for, some of you would think is so I could make toast, so I could eat potato chips. No, you weren't left here for that. You were left here for two reasons: to have a relationship with God and have a relationship with people. And everything else is not even secondary. Way down the list. And so, could I recommend to you that you do the very same thing Jesus did? Jesus looked at people and said, instead of them becoming my enemy, they're my ministry. Don't make people who hurt you your enemy. Make them your ministry. I was taught by a seasoned veteran pastor. He said, "You know, Jeff, you're going to learn the people that hurt you the most in life are usually the ones that need you the most in life." Do you know what our church's ministry is? It's all about two things: meeting the need of our God and meeting the need of people. That's what it's really all about. I have to tell you, we need a bigger building. The men, they hear me talk. I say, I don't care what color it is. It doesn't matter to me. All I want is a building in which to help people. That's all. I don't care what any other church in town thinks about it. I don't care. I want it to be nice. I want it to be clean because the Lord deserves that in His testimony. But I just have to tell you, I'm not interested in keeping up with the Joneses. I'm interested in helping the Joneses. We have got to decide that we understand what the church is really all about. You know, the church is not all about assuming property and getting bigger buildings and building a portfolio. Church is all about people, helping people. We, number one, want to please God. We, number two, want to do what God would have us to do. And you know what He wants us to do? Get this. He wants us to love people and help people. You know, you're to live holy and righteous, not just as a compliment to your church, but that is for God's sake. May I say, I don't think we ought to be allowing people to become our enemies, and I don't think we ought to be hurting people. I think we ought to be helping people. That's exactly what Jesus did on that cross when He said, Father, forgive them. In other words, if there was somebody in the crowd saying, Jesus, you've got, you know, you heard the song, He could have called 10,000 angels. Sure, He could have, but He wasn't going to, and the angels knew He wasn't going to. Why? They're all up there saying, I know what He went down there for. He is not going to, He's not going to blast that guy that just drove the nail in His hands. He's dying for that man. You know, did you know that if the only people that you can get along with are people that are easy to get along with, you're a very weak person? Now, let me say that again. If the only people that you can get along with are people that are easy to get along with, you are a very, very weak person. You show me how well you get along with difficult people. I'll show you the strength of your spirit and the strength of your attitude. Just think about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Do you know how many of those things make it so you can get along with people? Learn how to handle hard relationships. Boys, look right up this way and don't mess around during the service. Okay? All right. And that way you're learning how to get along with me during church. Okay? Now listen, if the only people you're getting along with are the ones that are easy to get along with, you're not a very strong person. Let's not throw the baby out with the wash in regard to difficult people. Every leader in this church, you need to listen very, very carefully as our church grows. And there are more people put into roles of leadership, and then there are people that follow you and that interact with you. We have to be very, very, very careful that we understand people. That's our ministry. You run a bus route. Praise the Lord for it. Never lose track of the fact people are our ministry. You know, I've watched people get committed to something like a nursery. And I want people committed to the nursery. And I want them to love that nursery. But let me explain something to you. A nursery's not all about the nursery. It's about the people. It's about the children. It's about their mom and their dad. It's about the other people in the church. We put children in the nursery so they can learn at their level. There's somebody to love them and give them a comfortable place to learn. It gives mama a little break. She can come into the church service. Keeps a crying baby from messing up your church service a little. It's not that we're against crying babies. I think every woman should have one. But it's about people. Thank God for a bus route, but I've watched people so committed to what they call the bus ministry, they're hurting people with it, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? I thought that was all about people. This building, to me, it's not all about people driving down Trent Road looking at it and saying, what a nice church building. Yeah, it's all about people. The choir, what's it all about? Not us hearing your voice. It's about people. 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 Why do we lose track of what is most important? I know this is hard for you to understand, but many of you, you go to work. And your work, it's just what you do to earn a living so you can serve God. And I understand that. But can I tell you what I think is most important about your job? It's not the part that you produce. It's people.
Right.
Andrew, he works at McDonald's. Be friends with Andrew. He can get you French fries, man. But you know, the most important thing he does is he helps manage and oversee crews of people. You say, is it the milkshake machine? I don't know. Chocolate milkshake's pretty good. But the truth of the matter is, it's the people that work under him and around him and above him. It's people. It's people. People. You know why you and I were left on this earth? To get along with God. You just look at the book that we call the Word of God. What's it all about? Teaching you and I how to get along with each other and people. People. We get so caught up with things, then we miss the thing of people. If I may, if someone is unreliable, make them your ministry. Make them your ministry. Let me read a verse to you. 2 Corinthians 9:4 says, lest haply, if they of Macedonia come unto me and find you unprepared. Here the Bible says there might be some people that are unprepared. Now, folks, may I say to everybody in here, why don't you be a prepared person? In other words, you do what you're supposed to do to prepare yourself to succeed at whatever you do. I think everybody ought to be prepared people. I think people ought to be reliable. But I'm going to tell you, I have to work hard at being patient with the unreliable. Everybody here, can I tell you something? Whatever you're working on, I want the people that help you, that are involved with you. If you're a leader in the ministry, you're a leader at work, whatever it is, I think the people around you ought to be reliable. Reliable. But that's not real popular anymore, being reliable. You say, what do you mean by reliable? Well, be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, on time, ready to go, with a good attitude. Yeah, today you got to just about back everything up with a secondary helps in case the unreliable do their unreliable thing. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you stumble across somebody that you just say, well, you don't have to worry. They'll be there. They'll do what they're supposed to do. Oh, how great that is. But I have to tell you something. If you have learned to be reliable, you're living in a world of unreliable people. So what do? Make them your ministry. Don't get mad. Don't attack. Don't belittle. Set a good example of being reliable. Let the unreliable person be able to rely on your good Christian behavior. You become predictable in their life. Learn how to help unreliable people without hurting them. There are ways of helping the unreliable. First of all, you say they're unreliable because they're late all the time. So what do? You just make sure you're on time all the time. Always. If you are dealing with unreliable people that are not prompt, the best thing you could do is set a reliable example. But we're going to face it over and over and over again. You're going to find unreliable people. Don't crush them. Don't damage their potential. And don't blacklist them. Do you know that many unreliable people can become reliable if given time, trained, patience? I'm not justifying the unreliable. I'm not justifying the sporadic, the unpredictable. Really, what you call them are unfaithful. There are people just unfaithful. They come up for every reason, every excuse under the sun why they can't be there, why they can't be on time, why they can't be faithful. And believe me, folks, I know I've heard every story under the sun. And if, as a pastor, you deal with people just continuously 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you know you're required to have a good attitude. So on the outside, you're just smiling to beat the band, but on the inside, you're thinking you are a scoundrel. You are lazy. You are unpredictable. You can't be counted upon. but I really, really like it. Do you know what I decided a long time ago? I would not want to hurt the unreliable. I want to help them. I don't like it when we're unreliable. I don't think anybody ought to be unreliable. I think everybody ought to be, you ought to be able to count on each other. But I think, folks, let's suck it up and get some character. Get some commitment. Get some Christianity. Get some determination. Get some drive. Get the right attitude. Stop being so easy on yourself and letting anything go. Make yourself be on time. Make yourself get up. Make yourself do the right thing. But you know what? In the case, you're not making yourself. I'll wait on you. I'll love you along the way. I'll try to help you. I'll be patient with you. And you know what? I decided to make them my ministry. Everybody here could have a ministry. You say, to who? The unreliable. A couple of you would have to say, I'd be a ministry all about me. I'll minister to myself. Number two, if somebody is unkind to you, make them your ministry. And honestly, here in the church, I'm telling you, there's somebody here, there's somebody that is repetitively unreliable, and you're mad. You're upset. You blacklisted them. What are you doing? Why would you treat somebody that way? That's a person. You say, well, I'm just, forget about them. Well, you can thank God never forgot about you. You say, but they're inadequate. What do you think you are to God? But secondly, if somebody's unkind to you, make them your ministry. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. My pastor used to end his radio broadcast. You'll remember, Brother Croom, he used to end his radio broadcast by saying, be kind to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time. Hey, did you know that just because someone's unkind to you does not justify your unkindness toward them? Why do we think that way? We teach our children, all the way back in the nursery, when one slugs another, we turn to one and say, what are you doing? I say, well, she hit me! And we say, just because she hit you does not make it right. We used to teach that nursery age. Now you need to teach it to all adults. Why are you treating that adult lady in the church that way? Well, that's the way she treated me! Why are you being curt to that man? Well, he was curt to me. Why don't you grow up? Hey, doesn't somebody have to be the strong one and act like a, what do they call him? A Christian. You know what unkind people need? Unkind people need the example of kindness. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be all sorts of people come in to our church in the next 18 months that are going to be unreliable. Because they have grown up in a society where they don't have mom and dads correct them, give them chores, duties, responsibility. They now have public schools that are scared to death to discipline them. They're going to be unreliable. And we're never going to grow anybody unless we're willing to make the unreliable part of the ministry of the church. We're going to have people that will come in that don't understand kindness. They're used to swapping a punch for a punch. One of them's going to take a swat at you. And somebody might need to take one and say, I'm sorry you feel that way. And you learn to be kind back. Why? Well, make them your ministry. Number three, if someone is your enemy, make them your ministry. The Bible says in Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you. Let your enemy learn some scripture. You see, my enemy would never sit down and read scripture. Let him read your life. Let him see that though they have decided to be your enemy, you're not going to be their enemy. For everyone here, may I tell you, you really have one enemy. It is Satan. You say, I have hatred within my heart. Good, you have all the hatred you want toward the devil. But nowhere in this book does it say that you and I as Christians should hate people. You can hate sin. hate the devil, but the Bible says love your enemy. Somebody here, you have an enemy. It might be somebody in your own family. It might be a neighbor, somebody you work with. Did you know they might want to be your enemy, but you should not be theirs? Let them watch you behave scripturally. Let others watch you behave scripturally. Hey, did God give you a ministry? You say, no, preacher, I don't have any responsibilities in the church. Oh, you have an enemy? I guess that's a God-assigned ministry, isn't it? Is there somebody that's being unkind towards you at work? You've just decided to, I'll give them the cold shoulder. I'll hate them from within. Did God assign you a ministry with the unkind? Are you dealing with someone at work? Are you dealing with someone in your family? Are you dealing with someone at the church that's unreliable and unpredictable? Oh, so God gave you a ministry. No, I want an assigned position down at the church, preacher. Well, let me tell you something. The assigned positions go best to the people that know how to make the unreliable their ministry and the unkind their ministry and know how to make their enemies their ministry. Everybody wants a position so they can toot their horn about having their name at the top of the list. Well, I've got news for you. God's looking for some Christians that take people and just make them their ministry. Is there somebody around you, and this is point four, I actually have points. Is there somebody around you that's unorganized? I know there's some around me that way. Scatterbrain. Running off the seat of their britches for you men, off the seat of your skirt for you women. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. You know, we're supposed to live our lives with some organization. If someone around you is organized, you know what you might need to do? Make them your ministry. And one thing you can do is make sure you keep yourself organized so that they can see the example of it. Don't just get frustrated. Make their weakness an opportunity for you to help them in life. If organized people don't teach the unorganized people, then from who will the unorganized learn? Somebody taught you somewhere along the way. An organization is a learned process that takes years. And everybody is at a different level of learning and organization. I can't tell you how many people come across people that are unorganized and they just want to write them off. You want a ministry? I'll give you one. Help the unorganized. Help the unorganized. You say, oh, I've got this person and they're under me. Maybe it's your child. Let me ask you a question, parents. Say, I want my child to do better at school. How much time did you spend teaching them how to organize? Organization is one of the keys to everything you do. Well, I want my child to succeed. Well, if you didn't give them the basic organizational skills that are required to succeed, how can they do that? All I'm saying is make them your ministry. Make the unorganized your ministry. Make your enemy your ministry. Make those that are unkind, make them your ministry. Those that are unreliable, make them your ministry. Hey, if someone is harsh around you, make them your ministry. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Instead of being harsh in retaliation, minister to them. This verse teaches, if someone's harsh with you, you need to learn how to be gentle and soft with them. The average Christian trades harsh for harsh behavior. They raise their voice, you raise your voice. They yell at you, you yell at them. They're curt with you, you're curt with them. No, you ought to take the person that has the weakness of harshness and you ought to make them your ministry. Do you return inappropriate? You know, and again, it's They say something snide to you, you say it back. They call you a name, and you think, well, I can top that. Wait, do you see what I call you? They throw a stick, you throw a tree. They throw a pebble, you throw a boulder. Learn to create peace with difficult people. Become a master of the mean. A mastery. Learn how to get along with people that are hard to get along with. You're going to need that in life in general. So what are we talking about? I'm saying make them your ministry. You find somebody that's harsh, make them your ministry. You find somebody that's unreliable, make them your ministry. Find somebody that's unorganized, make them your ministry. Teach them, groom them, be patient with them. Here's what you do though. You find someone with this weakness and you're just put off by it. And you make your comments, even with somebody else standing around. I can't believe that. Turn your nose up, roll your eyes, push them away, write them off, blacklist them. I'm just sick of these people. You want to serve God? Then make people your ministry. You know what we're all supposed to do? We're all supposed to be learning stuff from God and growing up and learning how to live right. And then when we get around each other, we're to encourage one another. And if I have a weakness, you encourage me and help me with it. And if you have a weakness, I'll encourage you and I'll help you with it. And I'll love you and you'll love me. That's what Christians are supposed to do. You don't walk around saying, well, I can't believe she's late again. Now, she might be late. Let me say to everybody in here, you don't know how to be prompt. It's no problem other than the fact that you're lazy or characterless. You see, I don't like that. Life's tough and then you die. I am not justifying the misbehavior of you and I. I am trying to exemplify the right behavior toward those that have wrong behavior. There's a way that you treat people. Hey, and look, you must think you're superior. You're smart enough to say they have that weakness. Yeah, I have somebody that's unorganized. Yeah, I know somebody that's unreliable. Yeah, I know somebody that's unkind. Well, you must have a certain grip on it, or you couldn't analyze the fact that they have that weakness. And with that in mind, you're a step above, which makes you the leader, which means you're to take those that do not have the characteristic and help grow them into having the characteristic. Does that make sense to you? If somebody is weak around you, help them. Make them your ministry. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. I've said this before, and it's been this way for years before I ever got here. This church is a spiritual hospital. We're out to help people. Do you know what happens when you're a hospital? You can attract sick people. And when I say sick, I'm not talking about just physically sick. I'm talking about, look, a place that helps people with their weaknesses then attracts people that need help. The right kind of church is going to attract the weak. Now look, you don't bait the weak to come in and then stone them when they get here. Come on in here, weak people. Come on, we're going to help you. Aha! We've got you. We're going to make you feel as bad as we can, and you're going to fail and flop, and we're going to kick you on your way out. No, we say, weak, come on. And then the weak are going to set by you. They're going to help you on a work day, and the weak are going to be in here. You're going to look at them and say, I see weakness. Look, if you see weakness, make it your ministry. Not a point of your arrogance. Look, I'm better than them. Look, I'm better than them. Look, I know more than them. What, if you know all that, what are you doing about it other than tooting your own horn? So if somebody's weak around you, make them your ministry. So husband, you're disgusted with your wife's weakness, huh? It just wore you out. What are you supposed to do? Make her your ministry. be rare because most men don't have weaknesses, but in the case that that applies. Hey, wife, you know your husband's weaknesses, or husband, you know your wife's weaknesses. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to make them your ministry. Parents, you have a ministry to your children. You say, what is it? You look at their weaknesses. You're supposed to help them with them. Brothers and sisters know each other quite well. Sometimes brothers and sisters know more about each other than parents know about their own kids. I used to say to my oldest boy, I said, your brothers, you're either going to be there, you're going to be a heel or a hero. And there were times he was able to do both. Ladies, there are other ladies in our church that have weaknesses. Matter of fact, you have some. You can either minister to them, or they can just be an irritation to you. You men, there's men at all different learning levels in here. There are some men that don't know what you know. But might I add, there are areas that they know something that you don't. Now, you can either make their weakness a part of your ministry and say, you know what, I can work with that. I can work with that. I can just be quiet sometimes. I'll just be patient. Does weakness just irritate you? For some, weakness just gets on their nerves. Weakness just bothers them. Weakness just rubs them raw. I want to recommend, if other people's weaknesses rub you raw, whatever you do, for no reason, should you ever, pastor, don't do it. You would be rubbed so raw you wouldn't have nothing but bone left. You say, well, how do you survive it? You make people your ministry. It doesn't rub you raw anymore. I have someone come and say, oh, preacher, I can't believe so-and-so did this. And I'll say, it'll be all right. How do you act like that? Well, you're irritated by it. I'm busy loving them and growing them. And there's a difference. You're just irritated by your children all the time. Could I recommend that you make them your ministry? It's just being frustrated at their inadequacies. Make the weak your ministry. Some people make weak decisions. Make them your ministry. You can help weak people if you'll just realize they need your patience. You're going to meet some people that will have weak standards. The only thing that keeps me from being angry with people with weak standards is I've made them my ministry. I want to grow them. Is somebody bitter around you? So what do? Make them your ministry. Acts 8:23 uses the words, the perception that thou art in the gall of bitterness. Someone's bitter. Somebody has to be spiritual enough even to help bitter people. You ever met someone who's just nasty, bitter, angry? Did you know that if someone is bitter, they will punish people that have nothing to do with the source of their bitterness because bitterness has now become a way of their life? You know, you ever met someone, they're almost nasty and rude towards you, and you're thinking, well, I've never done anything to you. Why are you treating me this way? The minute you recognize that, instead of becoming irritated and angry and push them off, why don't you think, I've never done anything to hurt them, but they're treating me as if I have. Oh, they're hurting. And they don't even recognize how they're treating me now as a result of the hurt they've already experienced. And I immediately say, you know what? I'm going to make them my ministry. No matter how they treat me, I'm going to help them because I know I'm not the cause of this. I'm just healthy enough spiritually to recognize maybe God brought them to me. Maybe I could be a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. Someone has to be big enough to set aside somebody else's rude, curt treatment and maybe get down to the heart and to handle some of the reactions that bitterness lets off. Be there as a healer. Let me help you. Bitter people, somebody has to love them deeper than the pain. If you can love them deeper than the pain, you can help them out of their bitterness. Hey, has someone around you, are they frustrating to you? The Bible speaks of, it says in Ecclesiastes 10:4, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. You know, someone doesn't have to be sinning. They could just be frustrating to you. You ever met somebody that's got a frustrating personality? I mean, there are people that have frustrating personalities or frustrating little quirks. Somebody has to respond properly to that. Make them your ministry. You can work through it. And you have to walk, you can't walk around with your feeling on your own cuff all the time. Here's how you all can make it in the church and stay in the church. You know, there are some people, they can't stay in a church very long. They have to hop all over the place. You say, why? Their people skills are so weak. They are so weak in their people skills. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I can't get along with this one. I can't get along with that one. This one rejects me. Nobody likes me. Can I tell you something? You need to work on your ability to get along with people. Well, I just have this one friend. You know, it's either you or that one friend, but something's not right because there are some Christians out there that know how to behave themselves. When you get around people, if they're frustrating in the way they handle themselves, make them your ministry. That's what ministry's all about. I'm going to ask you this question. Are you making the lost your ministry? The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. In other words, you and I as Christians, we ought to be telling the lost about Jesus Christ. That's our ministry. Some people just get angry with the lost. I got this stupid guy down at work. He doesn't love God. He acts like a heathen. Really? A lost man was acting like a lost man? Ha! Go, think of that. The other day he cussed. A lost man cussed. Well, in this day and age, you got to worry about the preacher that did. You're just mad at the lost. I thought you were supposed to love them and try to get them saved. What are you doing mad at them? Make them your ministry. Now, the last point of my sermon. How many of you are the one that we have to make our ministry? Which ones of you are the ones that we have to make our ministry? Are you the bitter one? You ever stop to calculate how hard people might need to work at getting along with you? Are you the frustrating one? Are you the unreliable one? Usually, the one that is impacted the most by the first 9 points is the one that causes the 10th one. For you thinking people, analyze that or put that in your spiritual pipe and smoke it. Oh, I needed that, I needed that, I needed that, I needed that, I needed that. And the last question is, how many people need all those to deal with you? Because most of the time, if you don't take the time to see everybody else as being in need, you're not thinking the way God thinks about yourself. You know, I don't want the people in this church to look at their pastor and say, he's unreliable. He'll tell you he'll be there at 2 and he shows up at 10 after 2. I don't want that. I mean, if I tell you I'm going to be there at 2, I want you to think he'll be on time. I don't want you to wonder if I'm going to blow my stack and lose my temper with you. I don't want you to think, is he going to get angry? Is he going to tear into me? There's nobody here that would think that. I don't want you to think that. Do you sense in your pastor that I'm a bitter man, that I'm angry with people, that I hate people, and that I really don't like the ministry? I hope you don't. Because there's nobody on the face of this earth I'm angry with. There's nobody on the face of this earth that I hate. You can ask anybody that's known me. Some of you don't know me well, but my most vicious enemy, and I have some of them, I don't want them. I'm not anybody's enemy. My most vicious enemy, I'd give them the shirt off my back today. I'd protect my enemy if that's what they needed. But look, are you the one that the good Christian must practice all of these qualities to get along with? My sermons are usually extremely simple. I can't produce any complicated ones. But you'll always find that inside them there's a hook. Let's make sure that we make the people around us our ministry. And let's be careful that everybody's not doing ministry overtime dealing with us. Jesus got beat to a pulp. You know all the people that were involved in his crucifixion? You know what he said? You say, how did he have such a good attitude? He knew what it was all about. These people that just hurt me, they are what I am all about. You want to be like Jesus? You just say, all these people around me, they are what I am all about. We'll have no more tension in families. Or it'll be quickly resolved. We'll have no more tension at church. Because these people are what I am all about. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved, I wish you'd come today and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But then let me ask this. Hey, Christian, has God spoken to your heart today? Do you understand all the people around you are suddenly the ministry God has assigned to you? And rather than being put off by their weak humanity, why don't you decide they'll be my ministry? I'll help them. I'll meet their need. I want to minister to that weakness. Who here would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart today. I see things in this sermon that'll help me. I'll apply it to my life. I want to make the people around me my ministry. Would you raise your hand? And their hands up everywhere. God bless you. There are some of you that have particular needs. And you might say, oh, God has penetrated my heart today. I see a major need in my life. This sermon is going to meet a major need. I'm going to walk away from this sermon deciding, rather than being irritated with everybody all the time, I'll make them my ministry. You might need the altar. You might need to come and say, Father, help me. That lazy fellow at work, I'll set such an example for him. I may never be able to tell him he's lazy, but he'll see me work hard. He'll see the example of it, rather than me just gripe about it. Make them your ministry. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar for a moment? There are some moms, you need the altar. You're almost irritated that your children are where they are. But the truth is, you should make them your ministry. Are you the unreliable, the unpredictable? Uriah, I think you'd be okay right there. Make them your ministry. Make that weak person your ministry. Make that unreliable person your ministry. Make that bitter person your ministry. You make that person that is rude or curt your ministry. And do it sincerely and kindly. Look, if you're around the church and there's somebody that's mishandling themselves, you ought to thank God that God's given you the spiritual insight to see that they're mishandling themselves. That means that there's a little more required of you. The Bible says, ye which are spiritual, help to restore the ones that are not. A growing, thriving church will not stay that way unless we learn the people around us and their weaknesses are not there for our criticism. Their weaknesses are not there for our attack or our revenge or even for our mocking. their weaknesses become a part of our ministry to that person. We learn how to absorb a little bit of it. We learn how to love them, be a good example for them. We learn how to help them when the opportunity's there. Make them your ministry. You say, I want an assigned position in the church. I'll give you one. Your job is to help the people of this church. That's your assigned ministry. See, I want something more than that. I'm sorry, you don't get any bigger than that. Now, when you do get an assigned position, you'll surely have the right behavior toward it. Because any leader is going to face every one of these issues as they lead in the church. So what do? Well, they grow the people that have all these weaknesses. This is great leadership training. Matter of fact, it is leadership. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. How do you have such a good attitude on the cross there, Jesus? He said, I happen to know. I was born, I lived, I died, I'll be crucified, and I'll resurrect for the people that are the weak people. And rather than letting them become an irritant to me, I'll just make them my ministry.